Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Swadeshi School once again, a masterclass on progressive education presented by Smarttail, powered by iGen Plus, FlipLearn, and LeadSquare. This masterclass series will take you on a short journey of introducing you to India's top unconventional minds joining us from different parts of India. In this masterclass, innovative topics, informative content, and progressive initiatives are being taken with you. We remain hopeful that the session over 7 days will inspire you to take your school community to a new direction of development. My name is Pooja Bose and I will be your moderator for the day. I'm an educationist who spent 27 enjoyable years in the field of schooling and learning. The more I teach, the more I learn. I have been interested in knowing how, considering the diversity in our population, education is imparted differently across the Indian landscape. Yet, our education system is at the cusp of a new era, with our perspectives shifting base in terms of the purpose of education and the value it serves to our youth and our society. I'm curious soul, studying the variety of circumstances in which people come forward to learn and teach and how. Before I welcome today's speaker, I request all our audiences to immerse themselves in the session and hold their questions, which will be addressed by the end of this session. Please welcome our first speaker, G. Gautama, serving as the Director, Secretary of the Palar Center for Learning, KFI, comprising Pathshala School, outreach programs, and a Krishnamurti Study Center. He was principal of the school, KFI, from 1991 to 2009, where he guided several initiatives such as mixed age group learning in junior and middle school, active learning for SSA that was taken to 50,000 classrooms in October 2007, a dynamic wide learning program for high school students, and establishing a short-term teacher training program. The core of his work has been to facilitate the building of a robust and sustainable staff culture through which initiative and change can emerge from within an educational institution. Today, his session topic is Learning Form and Conversations, Pathshala, a Young School. Let us all welcome G. Gautama.
Good evening, and I hope you are able to see the screen.
Yes, we can see the screen.
And it's a great pleasure for me to be able to have this conversation with interested educators. At the same time, with the tenor of our times, learning and moving and learning and doing things which we haven't done before is a necessary part of our life. It's a part of your life. It's a part of my life. So this is the first time I'm using Google Meet, having used other platforms on earlier occasions. And it's quite interesting to see that very quickly one can adapt to new technologies and one can function. And of course, in the process, we have internet failure, we have loss of voice, and sometimes loss of video. So I hope everything goes fine with this session, and I'm able to share a little bit with you of my thinking. And I hope that thinking has some meaning for the people who are here. Some of the important questions with regard to schools. I must say it was a pleasure for me to see the video of the school. Children singing, dancing, my former colleagues, some of them, I could see them. Pleasure to see this. And seems a very fitting beginning since I spent 22 years of my life in that environment, working for building a culture, working for movement, anticipating the future. So let me begin by saying that there are several questions that as teachers we encounter. And one of the questions is learning separate from living? Today, education has migrated to the internet platform like this one. And we think that it may lead to some learning. But is it separate from living is an important question. Because is learning a part of our life or learning something that is separate from it? I think it's an old question, and at the same time, I think it remains quite fresh, particularly with the shifting of paradigms, and the shifting of methodologies that are that we are seeing everywhere. So I'm not going to specifically introduce you to Pathshala Everywhere, but you're going to see some visuals of the little school, which is located in the middle of a large campus, beautiful campus with its rugged beauty. And we hope to be able to give you a sense of what the school is, and I hope there'll be more questions which we can take up towards the end. The other question that I think we need to ask is, how does form affect what we do? After the Industrial Revolution, through the British rule, the form of education underwent a big change. And for the last 30, 40 years, people have been saying nothing has changed much in education, but everything else has changed. And now, little did we all expect that a humble virus would shake education to its foundations and a new form would force itself upon all of us as it has done right now. But does form affect what we do is a good question. For instance, if one was sitting together with a group of people, being able to have a cup of tea together or a cup of juice, being able to look into each other's eyes, would that be very different from what we are doing now, where we have extracted an image and then that image is what we are seeing, and there is great freedom because we're seeing the image from very far away. At the same time, is it the same experience as that of people sitting together? Ancient India, we had the culture of to sit beside Upanishad. That is how education has run in this country and in older cultures, in small groups, in maybe somewhat bigger groups, but never on the scale in which we have seen it in the 19th and 20th century, and certainly not on the scale of the 20th or 21st century. But sit beside has become sit in front of the screen. The other question that this brings up is, what is our relationship with each other? As someone who's worked in a Krishnamurti school, who's been quite touched by his teachings, who's pondered over this question, what is relationship? Is it only proximity? Is it only agreeing with somebody? Is it something else altogether? A sense of communion with the world, a sense of oneness, recognizing that the other is not very different from yourself. As Krishnamurti says, you are the world and the world is you. So the name Pathshala we chose because it means school in every Indian language literally, and we thought that would be a simple enough definition to connect to multiple sensitivities. Pathshala has shifted elements, we have only 120 LEs and 30 ELs. We share meals around round tables, LEs, ELs and the non-teaching staff. Same time, same food. The other shifted elements are we have L-shaped classrooms and only dry composting toilets, because we have one of the greatest blessings of the 20th, 21st century. Plenty of water beneath the ground. And we didn't think it was right to live on the land and pollute the water beneath the surface. Other elements that were shifted were, we have only floor seating. We have multi-age classes of learning. And we have plenty of conversations. A little bit more about this as we go along. So, in one sense, Pathshala seems to draw upon India's ancient history before British rule and attempts to bridge, be a bridge with the unfolding future, a future which is so unpredictable, a future which is so exciting. At the same time, it's a future which seems to hold unfathomable challenges, and some of which are very frightening, some of which fill us with despondence as well. Some of you, my educator friends, may have read a book called The Beautiful Tree by an author called Dharampal. He picked up the phrase from Gandhiji's Chatham House talk, where he said the beautiful tree was uprooted during the British rule and the industrialization processes. They reduced learning environments to tables and chairs, rows and columns, age-wise segregation of children. You can say age-wise arrangements, breaking down every subject into its sub-subjects, and of course, bringing in the element of quality through exams, through tests, through failures, and selection for jobs, etc., became the natural consequence. The seeds exist in this culture, in our minds, in the lifestyle, in the practices refined over centuries. The seeds of an ancient way of doing things, an older way of doing things exist. Now, you might wonder why I am dwelling on this. Am I being a revisionist, going right back and saying everything that exists and got fine? No, I'm not doing that. I'm quoting Shashi Tharoor when he said 27% of the world's GDP was contributed by India before the British. And today we are contributing somewhere around 1%. The Robert Clive wrote to Queen Victoria saying every man, woman and child in this country knows how to read, write and do arithmetic. They are doing something which we don't even have in England. And England picked up something called the monitorial system, which is a travesty of what was going on. And they took it forward in England to improve the existing education in their country. And what was the monitorial system? The elder one teaches the younger one. But that's not the whole story. The story of how Indian education was happening was very different. The collector of Bellary was one of the people tasked with getting statistics about how schooling was happening in the Madras Presidency. And one day it is said he is walking around and he sees a group of children and they seem to be doing some work. And he walks up to them and says, where is the teacher? And one of the children said, the teacher is not here, he'll come back later. And he said, if you are studying without your teacher, won't you be making mistakes? Won't you be doing wrong things? And one 10-year-old boy told him, one of us can get it wrong, two of us can get it wrong, all of us won't get it wrong. So a culture of sharing, a culture of learning, a culture that didn't depend upon age-wise segregation of the learners existed and it seemed to be working. The Governor General writes also at one place saying the economy and the education in India is happening, a great economy. So there's a lot to be learned from the processes that happened earlier. Unfortunately, like dust falling and sending things underground, the short period, early 1800s to the late 2000s, it has obscured much of this from our view. And unless somebody really searches very hard, we don't find this. In the scatter of 21st century, we see goods and services dominating the scene. There is great excitement about the fact that things can be delivered at our home, and service, customer service, has become something very important. It's become an avenue of service, of earn livelihood, and of customer satisfaction. But we must ask, is education a deliverable service? And can learning be offered as a service? It's a very interesting question. We can deliver experience. We can deliver textbooks. We can deliver perspectives. But can learning be offered? In India, in ancient India, Vidya, Danam was the approach that they took. It was understood that this is something you give because you can't predict how it will be received. And the special relationship between the teacher and the student was one where the teacher could offer but could not say that, look, you are going to be able to do this. Today we have moved in an arena where education is supposed to become predictable. Whatever our learning is to lead us to jobs, etc., and to higher upward mobility. And this has cleared the pitch. But we have lost the distinction between training and education, between learning and inquiry. What is the significance of human life, one may ask? Are there dimensions beyond the obvious, the mundane? Are there dimensions of which are beyond the obvious, where I study something only because I'm going to get something? Is there some value to pondering over questions like the one C.V. Raman pondered over? Why is the sky blue? In pursuing such questions, is there value in pursuing different kind of questions? So where do my feelings come from? What should I do with some of my feelings? And is there a way in which I can understand my feelings? Or am I just a product, a determined product of that which I started with? The Chief Seattle asked, what dreams does the white man burn into the minds of his children on dark winter nights by the fireside? Very beautiful letter he wrote to the President of America before he and his tribe moved to the settlements where they were asked to move. Dreams of conquest, killing, occupation, devastation, dominion was what the white man visited on the people in the new continent. And now we are off to Mars. We have had some wonderful experiences with young people. There was a 17-year-old who stayed on our campus, who passed the A-level exams, and was part of the teaching learning process. EL in Pathshala refers to educator learner, and LE refers to learner educator. Each of us has a role of being a learner, and each of us has the role of being somebody who enables learning for others. And in that sense, each of us has a valuable role in the community. So we have had some young people coming. Two of our alumni have been working with us over the last year. One has worked more than a year and a half, and one more worked now for the last 1 month. She has been with us. And it was very interesting to understand what this 19-year-old who just passed out less than 6-7 months ago, what has she understood of her journey in Paathshala? I'll play it, you can listen to her voice.
Then I think 3 weeks after that, I had my BOTA. I did really badly and I was like, oh no. And I just didn't, then I told, like, and then I remember I spoke to my peers also. I was like, why don't the teachers stay with us more often? Why isn't there more contact time? I started to go back to what I knew, which was contact learning. But I guess my shock of recognition was also more of a, I just have to accept now what I have gotten myself into and I have to get through with this. Then yeah, I had my fair share of crisis where I cried. I was like, I'm just being left alone. I'm feeling abandoned also. And I think I also got very angry also at, but I don't think I ever shared it at the time. And then something struck and then I got more engaged with my work and I started to set realistic goals, like finish only these many chapters by this much time. Because you can only do that. And also school had so much other. We had COW, which is community oriented work, which we had to like help with the maintenance and things of school. And kitchen rota, then I had rota. And then we had so many things that it just seemed more realistic to put my academics on hold a little bit. And I did that. But then the more I was not focusing on academics, I was suddenly becoming better at it when I was focusing on it. I don't know how it happened, but it happened like that. And then there was achievement. Achievement, yes, okay. My achievement felt like it was an achievement through my checkpoint because I did well in that. It was a marks thing, yeah, at the end, but I felt like I had achieved something. And then my next terms were much smoother.
Okay, so there's one.
I spoke to my peers asking why we don't have more contact time and things like that, but we never discussed with each other how we felt at the program, like in the program. But also at the same time, we did have CTPs actually every day after school, where there was a space given to discuss questions on our minds. And it was not always academic. It was actually rarely academic. And I think that was actually one place over here that allowed for interpersonal growth, the fact that CTPs exist. Okay, so that's a separate situation.
So the last bit. That's what Chief Seattle asked of the American president. And the question for us is a little tougher. What would we be able to say to the young? Would we say, like Allama Iqbal, would we say, Tu Shaheen hai, Parwaz hai kaam tera, Tere saamne aasma aur bhi hai. Isi rojo shab mein ulaj kar na reh ja, ki tere zameen aur makam aur bhi hai. But those of us who don't understand Hindi and Urdu a little bit, what he says in these two paras is, you are a fledgling eagle, soaring in the skies is your work. Many are the horizons that await you. Be not limited by the daily chores, because a different soil, a different sky waits for you. Would we be able to offer this to the young, or would we tether them into age-wise segregated, yellow bus-driven environments? They have to travel long to prove that they have some education, and in the process thereby find themselves tethered into society. Thank you.